Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith as it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we spoke about a very, very unique incident taking place in the life of Musa alayhi salam, the magicians of the Pharaoh, how they came to Islam, how they actually went against the Pharaoh in the end, and the dua that they made for sabr and for patience, which we discussed in great detail. Now, in today's episode, we are going to be discussing actually linked to the previous dua which we mentioned, which is, I did say that we are going to discuss the last part of the dua that the magicians of Pharaoh that they made, which is وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ, allow us to die in the state of Islam in submission. And today's dua is going to fit in perfectly with that. We're actually going to go now to a complete different surah, Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, one of my personal favorite surahs, one of my favorite stories in the entire Quran. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said that this is Ahsanul Qasas, that this is one of the best of narratives in the whole Quran. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam is amazing, and we could probably, you know, dedicate an entire podcast just on that story itself. So, of course, my intention today is not to go into the story. Rather, we're going right towards the end of this chapter, right towards the end of the story, right towards the end of the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, and the dua that he made towards the end of his life. This is in verse number 101 of Surah Yusuf. So everything else has passed. You know, we know that as a, you know, when he was young, he was thrown into the well by his own brothers, he was betrayed by his own blood, and you know what he had to go through when he, you know, got to Egypt, how he was, you know, he ended up in the palace of the minister, and now he's in Egypt, and you know, he goes through different trials and tribulations there, eventually ends up in prison, you know, ends up staying in prison for a number of years, comes back, and then slowly now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, elevates his status, and now he is, for many of us, what we would deem to be successful, right? He's now given a very high and lofty position in Egypt as the new treasurer of Egypt, right? He's got popularity, he's got, you know, what we would say, love of the people, he's earned that, and he has wealth, and so on. Now imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored him so much, and this is after he's been through a lot. This is after he's been, you know, through so many different trials, like a series of different tribulations, of which, you know, many of us can't imagine how we would react or respond to had we experienced or gone through the same. Like, you know, being in the darkness of a well, being in the darkness of a prison cell, you know, being accused of something that you haven't done, and being separated from your father, from your brother, from your family members for not just, you know, a short period of time, but this is a number of years, perhaps even decades, right? So the heartbreak and the tragedy and the sadness that Yusuf alayhi salam had to face, unmatched. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what he had to go through in so much detail. Now, towards the end of his life, Yusuf alayhi salam, he actually makes a very beautiful dua. And this is what we're going to be covering today in verse 101 of Surah Yusuf. Now, before we even come to the main part of the dua, actually one thing that Yusuf alayhi salam does before he gets to the dua is he mentions to Allah some of the favors that Allah has blessed him with. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. He mentions very clearly how, my Lord, you have given me, you know, much of this dunya, much of this worldly life, right? You've given me this power and this position. And my Lord, you have taught me the interpretation of dreams. This is something that Yusuf alayhi salam was unique for. He was known for this, and he was blessed with and gifted with the ability to interpret dreams. And as you saw in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and as you can see if you have a read of it, that he did this on a number of occasions throughout the story, in some very, very key parts of the story. So he mentions how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with certain things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, you know, completed his favor, like he promised to do so at the beginning of the story, upon him. And he has given him so much in the worldly life. But now Yusuf alayhi salam, he's going to be asking for the same, but in the next life, in the eternal life, in the life that really matters. So Yusuf alayhi salam, first and foremost, he mentions his favors. And this is again something, by the way, that when it comes to us making dua, it's really important that we do, that we actually mention the favors. And this is a form of, you know, displaying and expressing our gratitude and our shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by which, you know, we firstly acknowledge, because acknowledgement is, you know, the first step when it comes to shukr and gratitude. That you have to acknowledge your favors. If you don't even acknowledge that your health or your wealth or your family or your time or the abilities that you have or the gifts that you have is a blessing, then how are you ever going to be grateful for them? How are you ever going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He's given you? So in your dua, actually, one really, really powerful and one really effective way of making dua is by mentioning what Allah has blessed you with. That when you start your dua, you say, "Oh Allah, you know, you've given me so much. You've given me a roof over my head. You know, you allowed me to have breakfast this morning. Oh Allah, you've blessed me with family members around me. You've blessed me with children where so many people don't have children. Oh Allah, you've given me health where I'm able to walk. I have ability to go out and work and provide for my family. Again, so many people don't have that. Oh Allah, you've given me, you know, enough wealth where I don't have to go and beg people or ask people for money, or I don't have to rely on other people. Oh Allah, you've given me knowledge. Oh Allah, you've given me this and that." And by mentioning this, you're humbling yourself before Allah, you're acknowledging all of His favors, and this is a really effective way, before you even ask Allah for something else, is you thank Him for everything He's already given you, right? As the saying goes, that, you know, it's not about what you want and what you don't have, it's about what you already have, isn't it? We focus on the things that we don't have a lot of the times. We focus on, well, you know, fair enough, I've got a house, fair enough, I've got a car, but it's not like, you know, Muhammad's car, it's not like Zayd's car, it's not like Khadija, the house that she has, but it's not like this. And we start comparing to other people, right? But sometimes it's not about what we don't have, it's about what we already have. And a lot of the times, what we already have is much more than what people do not have, like the majority of people. So alhamdulillah, we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should thank Him and we should acknowledge our favors. And this is something that we learn immediately from the beginning of this verse from this great prophet of Allah, Yusuf alayhi salam. Then he goes on to mention one of the great names of Allah. He says, "Fatir as-samawati wal-ard." And again, we've spoken about this before, how, again, you know, this would be already in the verse the second effective step to take to make your dua, you know, to give your dua more of a chance of being accepted by Allah, is to mention one of His great names and attributes. Okay, so if you want to, again, you know, the example always is, you want to ask someone for a favor, you want something from a fellow human being, from a friend or family member, then by addressing them with good names, good titles, right, this softens their heart. And, you know, this would ensure that most likely the thing that you're going to ask for, whatever it is that you're asking for, most likely that they are actually going to give it to you. Now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we want to praise Him, right? We want to praise Him because He is the only one that can give to us. So He says, "Fatir as-samawati wal-ard," the originator and the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Fatir. He says, "Anta waliyyi fid dunya wal-akhirah." Oh Allah, you are my wali, you are my guardian, you are my protector in this life and in the next life as well, right? That you've had my back throughout everything that I've been through, Allah. When I was in the well, you made sure that I got out of it. When I was in the prison, you made sure I got out of it. When I went through the trial with the minister's wife, you made sure that I got out of it, right? Everything that I've been through, you were there for me. You had my back. And even when I had a high position, right, you had my back. When I was separated from my father, you reunited me with him. So he's saying Allah has always had my back. And for a lot of us, it's exactly the same. Yes, we've been through difficult times. Yes, we've been through times where we thought it it just was not possible to get out of. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always found a way out for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always eased the pain for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always made things better for us, right? Yes, sometimes things aren't always the same as before, but things have improved. Things have, got better for us. So he acknowledges this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been there for him. And he says that you're not just my wali in this life, but you're my wali in the next life as well. And this is where it comes to the main dua that Yusuf alayhi salam is going to make, where he says, "Tawaffani musliman wa alhiqni bis salihin." So there's two kind of key areas that we're going to discuss today. The first part, "Tawaffani musliman," my Lord, allow me to die and take my life in the state of Islam. Allow me to die as a Muslim, or allow me to die and take my life in the state of submission to you. This is the first part of the dua. And secondly, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ, and allow me to join with the salihin, the righteous people, in the hereafter, in other words. So these are two things that we're going to be discussing today. The first part, which I said ties in with the previous dua from the magicians of the Pharaoh, because they made a similar dua, allow us, the only difference was the pronoun that was used. Here Yusuf alayhi salam is singular, he's talking about himself, first person, saying, take my life. And as for the magicians, obviously, because they were in a group, they said us. So just the pronoun change, but the same dua, in other words, right? And as you can see, the magicians, they were, as we said, they were right towards the end of their lives. They knew this because they were going to be killed by the Pharaoh. And Yusuf alayhi salam now, as many of the scholars of tafsir mention, the majority of them, they say that Yusuf alayhi salam, at this point, he was towards the end of his life. So he's been through everything that he's been through. And now he's kind of reflecting. Now he's looking back at his life. And now he's making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, my Lord, take me in the state of Islam. Right? So Yusuf alayhi salam here, he's not asking for death, or he's not asking to die at this stage. Rather, he's saying that when I do die, and when my life is taken, and when my time does come to an end, O Allah, then at that point, take my life as a Muslim. And subhanAllah, something profound about this is how Yusuf alayhi salam, he's not a normal man. He's not just a righteous person. This is a prophet of Allah. This is a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's from an extremely noble lineage. You know, his father Ya'qub alayhi salam is a prophet, and his father Ishaq alayhi salam is another prophet, and his father Ibrahim alayhi salam is another prophet, right? So he's like from this amazing lineage of prophets. He's a prophet himself. And subhanAllah, he is asking Allah to take his life as a Muslim. Imagine, any one of us, like, we'd think, why would Yusuf alayhi salam make this dua for? He's guaranteed to die in the best of states. He's guaranteed the highest ranks, because we know the highest rank is of the prophets and messengers. So why would he ask Allah to take his life in a state of submission? This is, again, showing the humility of Yusuf alayhi salam, and showing the common trait of the righteous people. The common trait is that they always wanted the best of endings, otherwise known as husnul khatima, the best of endings. What is the best of endings? That we die in the state of submission. We die in the state that we were, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with us, that we were pleased with Him, that we don't die in a state, subhanAllah, it's scary to think about, that we could potentially die in a state when may Allah forbid, may Allah protect us from this, but you know, when we're disobeying Allah, when we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing, when we're in a place that we shouldn't be, if Allah takes our lives at that point, it's a very scary thought to think about. So this is a dua that we should all make, that, oh Allah, allow us to die in the state of Islam. In a state of Islam doesn't just mean as a Muslim that it's rolling on my tongue, that yeah, I said I believe in Allah. No, but rather in the state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we are obeying Him in one way or the other. This ties in again with another verse from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, that, oh believers, have taqwa of Allah and be mindful of God as he ought to be feared and as he ought to and as much as you can. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, this part of the verse, which is, and do not die except that you are in the state of submission, or do not die except that you are Muslims. Right, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is telling us that have taqwa of Allah, and there is a link between having constant taqwa and consciousness and mindfulness of God, that of course eventually this will lead to when our time does come to an end on this on this earth, then most likely we are going to die in a state of Islam and submission, and as Muslims, because we constantly had taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our lives, right? So one way of ensuring the best end is that we live our lives in the best way, right? If we live our lives with taqwa, if we live our lives in obedience to Allah, if we live our lives in submission to Him, right? If we live our lives following the sunnah of our beloved Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then most likely we're going to die in the best of states. We're going to die in a good state. And there's so many stories of righteous individuals who passed away like this, right? Because they lived their lives like this, isn't it? So we should try our best, you know, to live our lives as, you know, people who are productive, as people who are constantly obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to die in this state. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he is one of the prime examples of this, that he lived his life constantly having taqwa of Allah. He lived his life constantly having sabr. He was patient, he endured. He had amazing, you know, character, and he excelled in every area of life. And that's why he died in the best of states. And that's why he left behind the legacy that he did. The reality of death is something that we do need to speak about. It's something that's not often spoken about. It's something which, of course, is morbid, that, you know, isn't exactly the best of topics, something that you bring up every single day. But as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He speaks about death, how every soul will taste death. How in other parts of the Quran He says that death will come to you, right? وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you're in the loftiest, most secure, fortified, you know, towers and you know, huge buildings, right? If you're locked away and you think nothing's going to get to you, Allah says no, death will even come to you in that place, in that state, right? And the Prophet would say that often, remember often the destroyer of all pleasures, which in other words is death, because, you know, when we think about death, it completely destroys all of these you know, pleasures of this temporary worldly life, which we're so consumed in and which we're so engaged with, that the moment you think about death and how temporary this world is, it's temporal, it's not permanent, now all of a sudden you think, wow, you know, why am I just so focused on this? Not that you shouldn't focus, but why am I so consumed by this, and that I've completely forgotten my afterlife, right? And the Prophet also said how you should capitalize on your life before your death comes to you. Capitalize on the time that you have right now. Your life is your capital, like Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says, right? Do what you can with the time that we currently have. So this is the first part of the dua, tawaffani musliman, that we should always ask Allah to take our lives in the best of states. We should always ask Allah for the best of endings. We should always ask Allah that we die in the state of submission, like Yusuf alayhi salam asked for. Then the second part of the dua is, wa alhiqni bis salihin. And oh Allah, join me with the righteous in the hereafter. I know we are taught to obviously have good company in this life, but don't we want good company in the next life? Imagine having good company. What does that mean? If you're with good company in the next life, then that means wherever they go, you're going to be, right? So if you're with the best of people, then does that not mean wherever they end up in the hereafter, you're going to be with them? So if they're in the highest levels of paradise, you're going to be with them. So that's why we make dua that, oh Allah, make me with the righteous people. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, it's famously attributed that he would say, "Uhibbu salihin wa lastu minhum." He'd say that, I love the righteous people, I love the salihin, the same wording that's used in this verse. I love the salihin, wa lastu minhum, but I'm not one of them. Right, and obviously this is from the humility of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. Of course he was from the righteous. Yeah, we would love to be in the company of someone like this great scholar, Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, right? We'd love to be with him. But this is from his humility. He would say, you know, I love the righteous people, but I'm not actually one of them. But then he would go on to say that perhaps it's through their intercession I can, you know, perhaps I can gain and attain their intercession so that I can, you know, be in and amongst them, so that I can benefit from their company, right? So this is something the Prophet says, he says in the famous narration, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, that a person, an individual will be with the ones whom he loves or whom they love, right? If you love a certain type of a certain person, or if you love a certain group of people, right? And what does it mean by love here? It doesn't just mean you feel something in your heart, no, but like you make a conscious effort to do what they do and to be in their company and to get closer to them and so on and so forth, right? Then the Prophet says that's who you're going to be with in the hereafter. So imagine on the Day of Judgment, you look around you, Imagine in Jannah, you look around you and you're with these righteous people. Why? Because you loved them and you wanted to be like them. That's who you're going to be with. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the great companion, he said that there was no narration or there was no saying of the Prophet that made us more happy than this. Do you know why they said that? Because the one individual whom they loved the most on the face of this earth, more than their own family members, more than their own friends, more than anything that they possessed, was the Prophet ﷺ. So subhanAllah, they were so happy when they heard this that they thought to themselves, you know, we're going to inshallah be with him because we love him so much. We love him more than our own selves, right? So the companions became very happy with this. So ultimately, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with these righteous people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in the Quran. Sometimes he describes them as his awliya. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The awliya of Allah, those who are beloved to Allah, those who are the friends of Allah, those who are the closest to Allah, Allah says that they will not fear in the hereafter, nor will they grieve. They're not going to have any fear on the day of judgment when everyone else is fearing for themselves, when everyone else is going to be in a state of panic. Allah says they're not going to have any fear, nor are they going to grieve. They're not going to be sad and remorseful over anything. Right? Allah says, these are the believers who used to have constant taqwa, right? So these are the righteous people. In a famous hadith, it is said, hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared something for my salih, righteous servants. What has he prepared? He says, I've prepared something, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I have prepared something which no eye has ever seen, no ears have ever heard, nor has any heart been able to comprehend. Right? This is, of course, Al-Jannah. These are the gardens of paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've specially prepared this for my righteous servants. So you know how the saying goes, that if you can't basically be from a specific group of people, then at least you... or if you can't be on that level, then at least you try your best to be in their company and benefit from their company, right? Even if you yourself aren't a righteous person, in other words, then at least try to be from the company of the righteous. You know, you get close to them. If, for example, if you can't become a great CEO of a company, you can't become, you know, a multimillionaire, we're talking in worldly terms here, but you're able to benefit from the company of CEOs and you're able to, you know, rub shoulders with these multimillionaires and billionaires, then that's something, you know, you're happy with that, right? Okay, I couldn't become the CEO of Microsoft or the CEO of Amazon or the CEO of this company and that company, but you know what? I'm friends with these guys. I'm quite close to them. So you get to still benefit from their company, you get to benefit from their wisdom, from their knowledge, from their expertise, from their experience. You get to even benefit from, you know, the kind of gatherings that they're in, right? You get certain perks, you get certain benefits from. So with the righteous, subhanAllah, okay, let's say, you know, though we should all aim to be from the righteous, we should all aim to become righteous ourselves, but if we ask Allah to make us from their company, we're still going to benefit from the VIP treatment that they get, inshallah, in the hereafter, from the angels, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get to be with them. We get to sneak in with them. We're somehow tagging along with them. And that's ultimately what we're asking for here, that we want to be with the righteous. Obviously, with Yusuf alayhi salam, by the way, there's a more specific meaning. And that meaning is that he actually is asking to be with his father and his forefathers, Ya'qub alayhi salam and Ishaq and Ibrahim alayhi salam, all of them. May Allah be pleased with them all. May Allah shower his blessings upon them all. That's who actually he wants to be with, because these are his forefathers. But again, these are the greatest of people, right? So if we want to attain righteousness, right, then obviously we try our best to have taqwa and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also we ask Allah, Al-Hiqni bis-salihin, oh Allah, join me with the righteous in the hereafter, because ultimately, where they go, I'll be with them as well. And we should try our best that the way we live our lives, we should emulate and we should follow the best of examples of, obviously, first and foremost, that's our Prophet ﷺ. Then you have the companions, you have the righteous individuals of the past, right? People of knowledge, people of wisdom, right? People of righteousness. These are the people whom we should love, we should emulate, we should try to, you know, be in their company. So this is a really beautiful dua from verse 101. In Surah Yusuf, which talks about, you know, the best of endings, aiming for the best of endings, and also being with the righteous in the hereafter. this should be our goal, right? If you're thinking, you know, many a time we talk about legacy today, I want to leave behind a legacy. But real legacy, like real ambition, is you're thinking way beyond this worldly life, and you're already thinking about your company in the hereafter. You're already thinking about who you want to be with in the hereafter. You're already thinking about who will be from who you will be from in the hereafter. So you need to choose your company wisely. Choose your company wisely, because you know, if we're emulating the wrong people right now and we're living our lives in the wrong way, then we might end up being in the wrong company. And hey, we don't want to be in that company in the hereafter. Maybe right now we're benefiting, but in the hereafter, trust me, no one's going to be benefiting from each other there, except these righteous people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the best of endings, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the righteous, and make us from those who live our lives in the best possible way, and make us from those who are constantly mindful of Him. And with that, inshallah, we will end. We're going to be back, of course, with another episode covering another dua from the Quran. So stay tuned, inshallah. Take care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.